I don't often read comments on my YouTube offerings, and yesterday I realized why I don't usually read comments, but the comments I did read were extremely instructive, and they have inspired today's video. And apparently, when I talk about human free will, people think that I am engaging in a theological argument, that it's just a fine point of doctrine. And Martin, who really cares? All that matters is love. All that matters is love. You're trying to say that God controls everything. Other people say, no, the human being has a free will. But Martin, you're causing dissensions. You're causing people to argue. Martin, where is your love? All we need is love. You must have love. And this is a realization I came to. And I've known this in a vague sort of way, but it has really come together for me this morning. And it is this. The Christian religion. Oh, here goes Martin again talking about the Christian religion. Well, my first two marching orders from the Apostle Paul are found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I'm to expose, rebuke, and entreat. Those are the charges Paul gives to Timothy and to anyone who would get into this world of bringing truth to people. You notice that 2/3 of evangelism is negative. Expose, rebuke, and entreat. You expose a false teaching, you rebuke the false teacher, and only when you've cleared the trash out of the road can you repave the road. It makes no sense to pave a road that is covered with pop bottles and cigarette butts and dead raccoons. So I have to clear the road of all the trash before I entreat. A theological teaching? Before I get to that, let me tell you what I've discovered. Christianity has made a God. Capital G. They've made a God out of love. And they have used love, and this is not God's love, by the way. This is emotional love. This is soulish love. This is Beatlesque love. This is the world's love. They use that love, and it's an illegal usage. It's a wrong usage. They're using it as a smokescreen to avoid intellectual pursuits, to avoid having a sound mind and coming to a realization of the truth. Because as soon as a fine point of scripture becomes contentious, or as soon as in someone's mind they have no answer for it, their default setting is to say, well, all we need is love. We just need love. Now, I will say this to you, that if I have all knowledge but have no love, then I'm but a clanging gong, a resounding cymbal. We don't want knowledge without love, but love without knowledge is an Air Supply album. I'm all out of love. What am I without you? Love without knowledge is a Hallmark card. What's discouraging to me is, after all my teaching on the danger of believing that the human will can trump the divine will, there are some who still think that this is only a theological argument. And Martin is only trying to prove his point because Martin just has to be right. And everybody who believes Martin is right, they yay for Martin. And anyone who thinks Martin is wrong is demonized. I don't care about any of that. because apparently there are some, and this is good that this has come up, there are some who think that believing in an untrammeled human will, or believing that God's will is greater than all and trumps all, is an unnecessary discussion. Let me tell you how necessary it is. The people who say it's just an argument we shouldn't argue, they are in fact not vitally interested in God, in God's mind, in God's plan, and in God's heart. And this is where love has become a god in organized religion, because they worship love more than they worship truth. I say it's only a smokescreen to avoid intellectual thought. In fact, years ago, I was talking to a lady, and she said, she was a church-going woman, and she said, at our church, we always get along, and everything is so wonderful, and there are hugs and kisses and donuts and coffee, and we all sing Kumbaya, and it's just great. And I said, well, that's amazing. How do you manage that? And she said, and I quote, we never discuss doctrine. Another word for doctrine is teaching. So let me say it again. We never discuss teaching, because teaching divides. But didn't Jesus Christ himself come with teaching? And did he not say that the truth of his words would divide? They would divide fathers from sons, brother from brother. Yes. Let me tell you how important this teaching is. Apparently, I need to re-emphasize this. Most people would, when they read in the book of Revelation that the man of lawlessness goes into the temple and proclaims that he is God, they're appalled by that. That's a worse sin than any human could possibly do. How could anyone say they are God? But the teaching of the untrammeled human will is a tacit belief, disguised and whitewashed, that the human is God. This is more than a theological argument. The human is God. The word God in the Greek theos means subjector. In the Hebrew El, it's subjector, one who subjects. So what's the difference, you ask, between God subjecting creation to himself or the human subjecting God to his own will? What's the difference? It's the human making himself or herself out to be God. The teaching of the untrammeled, unaffected, uninfluenced human will. The bottom line there is that the human will is more powerful than the divine will. The human will subjects the divine will to its whim. Therefore, the human becomes the subjector and God becomes the subjectee. And remember, subjector, that's the definition of God. So if the human becomes the subjector and God the subjectee, therefore the human becomes God. That's how horrible this is. God gives the parable, God himself gives the parable in Romans chapter 9 of his relationship to humanity. It is one of a potter and clay. Guess who's who? God is the potter and humanity is the clay. And the potter has the right over the clay to make a vessel for honor or a vessel for dishonor. The teaching of the untrammeled, uninfluenced human will teaches that humanity is the potter. Humanity is the potter and God is the clay. God must adjust to the almighty human decision. God wants everyone to be saved, but the human will trumps it. The human will subjects the will of God to its own desires. How many times have you heard that? Well, they made their decision to go to hell. They made their decision. So God's hands are tied. God, what can God do? The human has decided. The human is the subjector. The human is God. Human is God. And you wonder why this is a recurring theme with me? I mean, it's not like this is all I talk about. I'm not a one-trick pony. Go to my Revelation series if you want to hear something besides free will. Go to my series on 2 Timothy on the all-new Zender Sheridan show. Go to my series on Hebrews. Read my series on Romans. And yet, this is the most foundational truth that there is, that is on top of everything. And unless you have this in place, every step you make is going to be wrong. And that is the sovereignty of God. That is that God is God. He alone is God. And to rely on a human for salvation is futile. David said that somewhere in the Psalms. Salvation by a human is futile. And not only that, but Paul's gospel, a foundation of it, found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, is the death of Christ for sin. It's not just the death of Christ. Many people died, even by crucifixion. But Christ died for a purpose, to remove sin. That's foundational part of Paul's evangel. The teaching of the untrammeled human will says that it's up to human beings to deliver themselves from sin and death by believing in Jesus Christ. I'm told Jesus Christ died for sin 2,000 years ago. If that's the case, then why is every human being born with a default setting of going to hell, unless they do something during their life to get out of it? That's a denial of Paul's gospel. Therefore, I have no love. I am so concerned for humanity. I want people to become members of the body of Christ. I herald the truth. I can just hear people now saying, it's up to God, Martin. It's up to God who's in the body of Christ. Who are you? God uses heralds, and heralds expose, rebuke, and entreat. So I want people to come to the truth. Why? So I can be right? Are you kidding me? I want people to not have to go through the tribulation. Maybe you don't care, but I'm telling you, if you're not founded on the truth that Christ died for sin and he took care of the sin problem and you don't have to, then you're not in the body of Christ and you're going through the tribulation. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 that Christ is our rescuer out of the coming indignation. And the indignation is coming. The indignation of God is coming. It's called the tribulation. The earth is going to go through worse things than it's ever been through. I'm trying to rescue people from that. Oh, who do you think you are, Martin, that you can rescue people from that? It's relative. I am announcing an evangel that is a present day ark. It's a present day deliverance. If you don't think it's important, then just go ahead. Just forget the argument, forget the points, forget the scripture, and just send each other Hallmark cards. Play each other Beatles songs. Buy an Air Supply album. And you may need this. Here, try this. There's some Deep Woods Off. It might help you fight off the locusts during the tribulation. I don't know. It says it's good for mosquitoes, ticks, biting flies, gnats, and chiggers. Doesn't say anything about locusts, but you might want a 5-month supply of this stuff because that's how long the locusts are going to be on the earth. You want to go through that? Go ahead. Lovey-dovey through the day of indignation. Go ahead. This isn't important. There's a difference between life and death. There's a difference between aeonian life and aeonian death. Oh, it doesn't matter, Martin. You're just not loving. Listen, I love you so much, I will kick your ass. That's how much I love you. That's the love of God. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What do you want me to do? You people who think that I don't have love, that we should all be more loving and stop having these arguments. What do you want me to do? buy you a bag of peppermints or something? I don't know. It's the it's this emotional idea of love. It's this soulish idea of love. And again, I think it's a smokescreen for intellectual inability, for not wanting to dig into the scriptures, or at least listen to what people who have dug into the scriptures say. But instead of giving you a bag of peppermints, I'll give you a 5-month supply of this stuff. Deep Woods Off. Maybe it'll fight off the locusts, because that's, you're going to be having them fight them off yourself if you don't embrace this evangel. Martin, it sounds like you're threatening us. I'm not threatening you. I'm just exposing and rebuking in order to bring you the truth, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a declaration of God. And any doctrine that says humanity is God, and that's what this does, humanity is God, is beyond a false doctrine. It's the man of lawlessness walking into the sanctuary and saying and declaring that he is God. It's already happening. Paul said the spirit of Antichrist, or maybe it was John, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Yes, how is it already in the world? Because we have a bunch of people who say, they don't say it, but they believe that they are God. They're the potter, God's the clay. God has to adjust to them. If they don't want to go to heaven, by God, they're not going to go. If they don't want to be subject to the life of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ in trumping the work of Adam, then they're not going to be subject to it. And that's all there is to say about it. And God has to go, well, I tried, but they just wouldn't cooperate. That is a God who has become the clay. That's the God who has become the clay. Listen, I love you. God knows that I love you. I love you enough to be tough. Love is tough. True love kicks your ass. I've been to churches. I remember I went to a church in Baton Rouge to teach. I was invited down there. I don't know why they wanted me. Maybe they didn't know everything about me, but I gave them the truth. But I'll never forget, at the beginning of that service, it was like a Pentecostal type church, and people were singing. And this is what they do in the churches today. They have a giant screen up front of the sanctuary, whatever they call it, and you have these hymns, and people just sing, and they sway, and they sing, and they sway, and they raise their hands to Jesus. And I'm like looking at my watch. I can't wait for this crap to be over, because I know that for the most part, the people who are singing, we love you, Jesus, we praise you, Jesus, we honor your holy name, you're the savior of the world, they don't believe a word of what they're saying. So they're a pack of hypocrites. Well, I can't stand it. I don't know how I ended up in that church, but man, I taught the truth and I didn't get kicked out, but I didn't get invited back either. That's interesting. I just thought of that. Yeah, so I do love you. But again, love without knowledge is a Hallmark card. I think Hallmark should make a card for people who go through the tribulation. It says, sorry about your locust troubles. Come on over for a hug and a bag of peppermints.